Yes. Depends on what sort of exercise. Yeah, I think it really depends. I suppose if you do yoga, then after the yoga would be better because you feel more, your body feel more relaxed. But if you do very strenuous exercise, maybe you, afterwards you may feel too tired, and so you're more likely to fall asleep during your meditation. So it depends on the nature of the exercise. That one, I don't know. It's up to you. You can experiment with it. But quite a lot of people actually find after exercise, they are more calm because they feel more, probably a bit more settled. You know, their body, because they move. And so after exercise, sometimes can have some advantage. Also, you run off all your stress. Then when you meditate, you might find it easier to calm down. Any other question? Not enough chairs. It's always the sad thing. I like it if it's only chairs, then it'd be good. Any other question? So last week I started this series of meditation on what we call calm abiding meditation. So there are many different types of meditation. There are also many different techniques of meditation. And calm abiding is probably one of the most common ones, and most people call it concentration meditation. But I like the word calm abiding because it gives you a better sense of what that meditation is about. Yeah. How many of you are first time here for this course? Okay, that's alright, no problem. So you can see why later you can understand why my course always looks a bit, since I'm always very repetitive, right? Every week. Sometimes very extreme. Last week is this group of people, then next week is a different group of people. So it takes some skill. How to carry on with the course, even though the people have changed. I would say that I'm the only one that is 100% attendant at my course. Okay, so I think we can start. So calm abiding, I just, for those of you who have attended last week, I'm just repeating myself a bit. So in this kind of meditation, we are going to achieve a state of mind whereby we calm ourselves of all the different disturbances. Physical disturbance, mental disturbance. Disturbance are like things that disturb you. Most people, especially our stress, they find that they cannot stop thinking. They keep thinking about work or whatever it is that's stressing you out. Right? So that kind of, sometimes we use the word rumination, because it's sort of like you go over and over again, like the way a cow would ruminate over would regurgitate the food it has eaten and to chew on it. So it's the same. We sort of regurgitate in our mind the events or whatever it is that is stressing us out. And then we just go over and over and over. Especially if there's someone in front of you, you might start to, express out the thought, right, the concern. And you'll be like what they call, a broken tape recorder in the old days. This day it's just like an MP3 player on, infinite repeat, it just hung around, one round, second round, third round, the same old thing. Even though people said, enough, that's the third time you told me this story. You cannot stop, So that kind of ruminating thought, quite disturbing. Other times will be disturbance from the body. Physically, you're uncomfortable, you experience pain, you feel very restless. So all these are disturbance that disturb the peace of your mind. And in calm abiding meditation, we learn to calm all those disturbances so that our mind, as well as our body, can abide blissfully or pleasantly in meditation. And and the mind can give its full attention to whatever it is that you are attending to. Okay, so that is a little bit of calm abiding meditation. So last week I started introducing this type of meditation using the breath as a support. Yeah. So we will revisit that again today. I present meditation in three-step process. So some of you may remember. First step, I call it acquiring a seat, which not only refer to selecting the type of seats that is most comfortable, most supportive for you, be it a cushion on the floor or a chair, but also selecting the posture you want to place your body in, a posture that most importantly should not cause you unnecessary pain, right? Especially in calm body meditation, we don't want physical pain, right? But there's some kind of discomfort, but we don't want the posture to cause pain, because pain disturbs the body and mind. And so it's all like you are doing the opposite to what you're trying to accomplish. You don't want pain. If the posture causes you pain, maybe you should consider changing the posture. For example, if sitting on the floor causes you pain, like lower back pain, pain in your knees or whatever, or your leg will numb altogether, no matter how you adjust your posture, then I would strongly suggest you sit on a chair. Not that there's any chair left now, or there's one at the back. So if you sit on a chair, most of us will find that a lot of those pain will disappear. Without that kind of pain, it makes it so much easier to meditate, so much easier to settle down into your meditation. This is one of the most important things, and also one of the most major hurdle that beginners experience, because we come to meditation probably with some preconceived ideas that we should all sit on the floor, all sit cross-legged on the floor. But actually it's harder than you think it is, especially if you're not used to it. And quite often it is the cross-legged posture that causes a lot of those unnecessary pain. And of course it's possible to get used to that posture, sitting on the floor, but it takes a long time, and sometimes for some of us we actually need to do it actively. We may need to do some kind of yoga stretching for an extended period, like for example for a year, to get yourself acclimatized to sitting on the floor. So I think the fastest solution, since you all want instant results, is to forget about sitting on the floor, to sit on a chair. That's the end of the problem. Okay? After all, chair is a wonderful invention, right? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. So the first step is about the posture, getting a posture. Second step, I call it making transition into meditation, helping your body and mind to make the transition into meditation. And this is also a step that quite often people are sort of unaware of. When we kind of expect our body and mind to just instantly enter into a meditative state, that is not very realistic. Our body and mind, probably most of us are probably more used to in our daily life to something, to operating at a more faster pace, and quite often dealing with a lot of stress that is experienced both physically and mentally. Sometimes even driving or commuting in the traffic can be a bit stressful, right? Not this morning, but like on Tuesday evening, my class, I took the bus and I said, oh, this is the wrong time to be taking the bus to go from the other end, the west side of the island to here. So it took a long time. The traffic is very heavy. I said, oh, maybe the teacher is going to be late. So just by traveling from one place to another, it can induce some kind of stress. Right? So could you imagine, and then the next thing you do is you sit down and you kind of require your body and mind to immediately be calm and peaceful. It's not very realistic. So it's more likely that we need to give our body and mind some time and also some space to transition. Right? So this second step to transition phase is quite important. You almost quite often I present it as being kind to yourself, being kind to your own body and mind, not just demand that it's not on demand, like this day, you know, on demand, you just press the button and you get the movie or the video or whatever, it's just instantly delivered. Yeah. Unfortunately, your body and mind have been created a few hundreds and thousands of years ago. So it's old technology. You need to give a lot of time, space for it to adjust themselves. So this second step is to remind you to be kind to yourself, kind to your body and mind, and really take some time and create a condition that allow your body to be able to fully release any unnecessary tension and tightness so that it can settle down. And also for your mind to set aside things that might have been bothering you so that you can gather back your attention and place them on whatever it is that you are meditating on. So that takes time, actual time. And so that's what we covered last week. And a good way to facilitate that transition is to return your attention to your own body. Not just one part of it, but the whole body. It can be part by part. But by returning your attention to your body, you facilitate your body to begin this process of loosening up, unwinding, and so that it can settle down into the posture and then into the meditation. And this is actually a part, this transition can also take place through exercise. A lot of the yoga poses, depending on how you do yoga, there's so many different types of yoga this day, but I think traditionally quite a lot of the yoga poses is to get you to a place where it's so much easier, at least physically, but also mentally, for you to settle down into meditation. Right? Out of the 8 limbs of yoga presented in Yoga Sutra, I think asana, which is the physical pose, come before what later they call pranayama, breath control, and then beyond breath control comes a few steps to do with concentrating and settling the mind. So a lot of those physical poses in yoga is to get you to be comfortable, to settle into meditation. So you can also facilitate this transition through something physical, not just mental, but also physical. So there's something maybe to keep in mind. And but here, I'm not a yoga teacher, so I'm not going to do that. But we can, in our meditation, help that process by consciously and intentionally just return our attention to the body. It's quite a remarkable thing, because as if by giving attention to your own body, different parts of your body, just by feeling, oh, my shoulder seems quite tight today. It's always tight anyway. Tight and tense. And then, oh, the chest, a bit like compressed, you know. And then the stomach, oh, don't feel so good today. And just by returning attention to your own body, you are, in a very slow, gentle way, you are also facilitating a process of helping your body to, you know, readjust itself, to come back to balance. It's almost like the body said, well, not so stressful here, no, not at work, Saturday morning, alright, never mind, I'll just relax a little bit. So the body can, to some extent, not completely, start to release the holding, the tensing up, you know, and that really helps you to go deeper into your meditation. So this is the second step, transitioning into meditation. By returning your attention to your own body. We'll repeat this, we'll do a practice together. We'll repeat this. The third step, I call it deepening meditation. So now that you have found a supportive posture, a seat, you've taken some time just to help your body and mind to adjust and transition. Now you want to really give all your energy and attention to go deeper into your meditation. That's when we make use of, in Kama Bali meditation, we make use of a support. I call it a support instead of a focus or object. Because usually people, another major problem is people try too hard. But they try to squeeze. I call it constipated practice. like you constipated, you're trying to squeeze something out, right? They try to squeeze out some concentration. So the more you squeeze, the more tense you are. So it's almost like it's kind of a bit of a paradox, right? Like they struggle against what they find. They feel that their body is not so comfortable. They don't like it. They struggle. They feel that the mind is a bit too busy. They say, no, go away, go away. All this thought, I want to get rid of it, go away. So they struggle against what they find in themselves. And the struggle is a kind of tensing up, a kind of getting worked up, agitated. Right? How can you achieve a state of calmness and peace by struggling? It's like you have a glass of water, let's say a muddy water, lots of sediment inside. How can I get this water to be clear again? The easiest way is to place the glass of water on a stable surface and leave it alone. Okay? Then with time under gravity, the sediment will sink, and then the water will become clear again. To struggle in your meditation to say, oh, I don't want this thought, stop thinking, go away. Oh, I don't like this pain, I'm going to adjust. All those kind of fidgeting and struggling is like you're holding the glass of water, this muddy water. You're trying to move it so that it will settle faster. No. How can you tell me, how can you hold the glass of water in such a way that it will allow it to settle faster? Faster, faster, faster. The more you hold it, the more you struggle, the more disturbed you will be. Right? And you will stay in the state of disturbance. So long as you are holding on to it. So now you are trying to make things happen faster. Right? So the only way, unfortunately, is to just put it down and let it go. Right? And then in time, given time, it will settle. It's just an analogy. Not 100% accurate, but to give you an idea that in this third step, deepening meditation, we're not trying to struggle against what we find. We're not trying to fight against what we don't like. You find that your body is not comfortable, your mind is agitated. You're not trying to fight against it. Right? Instead, you're trying to create, you say, okay, what kind of conditions can I create so that I can support this settling down process? This calming process. In the case of the glass of water, a firm, stable table, and without people walking around. So long as there's no disturbance, given time, it will settle. In fact, that's probably the fastest way you can get it to settle. So something similar, if you get the right condition for your own body, you'll be surprised how fast your own body and mind can settle into meditation. And without any sense of struggle, no need to try harder. This is the one of the things you must remember. Don't try harder in your meditation. Just don't do it. Don't go there. Instead, learn to work out what sort of conditions can I create that will help my own body and mind to settle down faster. Okay? So, and what I presented last week is just a simple idea, is that we make use of a support like the breath. The breath is a pretty good one in this case. And the only thing we need to do with the breath is this simple instruction, remember to come back to the breath. It's not to stay with the breath, okay? It's to come back to the breath. So this idea that I need to focus on the breath, I need to stay with the breath, you look for the nearest garbage bin, take that instruction and bin it. Right? Forget about the idea that I need to focus on the breath. I need to stay with the breath. I need to hold on to the breath. All this idea, you take it, gather them together, chuck them away. Don't worry about staying with the breath. Don't worry about focusing on the breath. Instead, my suggestion is you remember this idea. I can come back to the breath. I can return my attention, no matter where my attention has wandered off, I can always return my attention back to the breath. Now, whether the attention stays with the breath is not your business, right? You don't worry. If it stays, it stays. If it doesn't stay, again, the same instruction on. Come back to the breath. Okay? Now, coming back to the breath is something everyone here can do. Whether you want to do it or not, that's up to you. But you can easily do. You just look, where's my breath? Oh, it's here. I can feel myself breathing in and out, and you're already back. Okay? Staying with the breath, especially for an extended period of time, unfortunately, is not up to you to decide. You can try, but you'll find that, you'll say, for the next 5 minutes, I will stay with the breath. I will not wander off. My attention will be always on the breath. Good luck. I'm almost guaranteed 99% you will fail. In fact, I don't even think you will last 1 minute or 30 seconds. Okay? So that shows that you are asking yourself to do something that at this moment you can't do. And therefore, you were bound to experience failure. And nobody likes to fail. You feel like you're a failure. You feel very frustrated. You're very unhappy because you're not successful. Why set yourself up to lose in this way? So don't do what you cannot do at this moment. Instead, do what you can do at this moment, which is to return your attention to the breath. Come back to the breath. Come back to the breath. Don't worry, I'll remind you, because I won't leave you alone. During the guided meditation, I said, now come back to your breath. I don't know where you are, you must be somewhere else, not, maybe not even in Singapore, maybe not even here and now, you know, somewhere in the future, somewhere in the past, the other side of the world, and you know, some fantasy world, you know. Said, come back to the breath. Come back. Come back. You'll feel a sense of accomplishment every time you come back. Yes, I'm meditating very well. You have a good meditation. Excellent. I come back to the breath 10,000 times. No, actually it's not possible because I don't think so. But many, many times. And it sounds bizarre, you know. But first of all, you feel that, oh, I can do it, you know. So it's very encouraging, very empowering. And the more you do it, the more you find that there's no struggle. You know, it doesn't matter if you wander off, go, never mind, go. And then when you notice it, you say, maybe I should come back to my breath. After all this daydream, I have it, God knows, hundreds and thousands of times already, you know. I can't wait daydream later, you know. Just come back. So you'll find that over time, you eliminate struggle in your meditation, and when you don't struggle, it's easier to feel calmer. Right? As you feel calmer, what happens to your attention? It starts to stay with the breath, right? All by itself. I have very low standards. Okay? Maybe first you stay half the breath. You breathe in, I'm with the breath, and then I'm gone. Now my later, you have the whole breath, breathe in and out, and then you're gone. Okay. Now after a while, before you realize it, you think, hey, something strange is happening. Breathe in, out, in, out. I'm still with the breath. Something is happening. Some process of settling is happening. And therefore you find that not 100% your attention, but at least some of your attention is still with the breath. And that's a good sign. That means you are moving closer and closer to a state of calm. Sounds okay? Right. So let's, in this session, I want to introduce a slightly different technique of how to transition into meditation, how to connect your attention to the body using the breath. So I call this meditation, I sort of made up this name, okay? Touch and release. Touch as in when I breathe in, I also imagine that I'm coming back to be in touch with my own body, different part of the body, the crown, the forehead, the face, the throat, the neck, the right shoulder, so different parts, right? So each part, feel that when you're breathing, I'm aware of the sensation at that part of the body. And as you feel yourself breathing out, you remind yourself with this magic word, release. It's as if You are giving permission for your body and mind to release anything that is unhelpful or unpleasant or uncomfortable. You just let it go. You don't have to make anything happen, okay? You just remind yourself, release. Do as little things as possible. Really. So part by part, we just go through the body. And I personally find this quite helpful to settle my body and mind into meditation. So I'm going to guide you through that. And then the third step, then I'm going to invite you to just come back to the breath as a support to help you to deepen your meditation. Let's just give it a try. So first, let's start by... find a supportive posture for your body. So if you're sitting on the floor, you like sit in any cross-legged posture that is most supportive. Those of you sitting on a chair, I recommend placing both feet firmly on the ground. And if you cannot touch the ground, maybe it's good to put a cushion under. So rest your feet, both feet on the cushion. So to give a body a sense of support. Most important aspect of the posture is your spine, your back. So try to have it upright in a natural way. You don't have to tense up your back muscle to straighten your back. Not necessary. But just adjust it such that you feel that your spine is in a natural upright position. You rest your hands and arms in whichever way that is most comfortable for you. You can rest your hands on the both knees, on the knees. Or you can place them one on top of the other and rest it in your lap. Eyes, you are most welcome to close them completely. And of course, at any point of time, you can also open your eyes. Especially if you feel very sleepy or drowsy, it might be good to open your eyes for a while. Then you can be a bit capable and look around and see what other people are doing. So, place yourself in a supportive posture, and I'll guide you in this meditation. And feel free to ignore me if what I'm saying is not helpful for you or not relevant to you. So let's begin by becoming aware, noticing sensations at the points of contact between your body and your seat, the body and the chair or the cushion, your body and the ground. If you can notice at those points of contact that your body in this posture is resting on something solid, firm, and stable, you may experience it as something hard or soft, but nonetheless, your entire body is resting on something very stable and supportive. So much so that your posture is well supported and balanced, and your body feels safe in this posture. So much so that it can begin the process of just loosening up a bit, unwinding, no need to be so tight, so tense. It can release unnecessary tension and tightness. So that is step number one, acquiring a supportive posture or seat for your body. So let's take some time slowly without hurrying to help our body and mind to transition into meditation. So synchronize with your natural breath, I invite you to place your attention at the crown of your head to see if you can notice sensations at the crown, the top of your head. Could be a tingling sensation, could be a sense of warmth or coolness, maybe a slight feeling of pressure, maybe nothing at all at the crown. So imagine as you breathe in, you are in touch with the sensations at the crown, and as you breathe out, remind yourself you can release. So breathe in, be in touch, be aware. Breathe out and release at the crown of your head, at your own pace. Then moving on, let your attention travel down to your forehead, somewhere between your eyebrows. Just a light touch. Breathe in, be aware of sensations at your forehead. Are you tensing up the muscles of your forehead? Breathe out and release. See if you can relax those muscles at your forehead. And while you're here, as you breathe in, also become aware of sensations throughout your face. Are you tensing up other muscles of your face? Those of your jaw, those around your eyes. And as you breathe out, once again, remember to release. Breathe in, be in touch, breathe out and release. At your forehead for your entire face. And then moving further down to your neck, your throat, breathe in, be aware of sensations in your throat, sensations in the muscles of your neck, and as you breathe out, once again, release. As you breathe out and release, do not worry. Do not try to consciously relax anything. Just give permission to your body and mind in their own time and in their own way. They can release anything unnecessary, unhelpful. Moving on to your right shoulder. Just choose a spot on your right shoulder, and as you breathe in, be in touch with sensation at that spot on your right shoulder. Just notice how your shoulder is feeling today, and as you breathe out, remember to release. Then moving on, further down your right arm, come in touch with sensations at your right elbow. Breathe in, be in touch with sensations at your right elbow. Breathe out and release. And there's no right or wrong way to do this. Just do whichever way that makes most sense or comes naturally to you. Breathe in, be in touch with sensations at your right elbow. Out and release. Moving further down your right arm, come to rest with your attention at your right wrist. Imagine breathing in and being in touch with sensations at the right wrist. Breathe out and release. Not to worry if you don't notice any sensations, but it's quite alright. Just imagine breathe in and be aware of sensation at your right wrist. Out and release. Extend your attention now into your right hand. Breathe in and become aware of sensations at your right hand. Sensations in the palm, at the back of the hand, sensations in the fingers, all the way to the fingertips. And as you breathe out, once again, release.
And if you can, imagine releasing the weight of your right arm so that you can just rest comfortably on the support and there's no need for you to tense up your arm muscles unnecessarily. You don't have to hold up your right arm in any particular way. Just release and let it go. Switching side, let's place our attention to the spot of your left shoulder. Within the aware sensation of your left shoulder, out and release. Moving further down your left arm, come to rest at your left elbow. Breathing in, touch the sensations here in your left elbow, breathe out and release. Then move further down to your left wrist, breathing, be in touch, breathe out and release, and your left wrist. Extend your attention into your left hand. Breathe in, being touch sensations at your left hand, palm, the back of the hand, the fingers, all the way to the fingertips. And breathe out to release. And we return our attention now to the chest, to the center of the chest, at what we call the heart center, the place where we tend to feel strong emotions. And same thing, breathe in, be aware of sensations at your heart center, breathe out and release. See if you can release any extra effort, don't have to try too hard. Just a light touch will do in this meditation. Breathe in, be aware, sensation at your heart center, out and release. Let your attention move further down to your abdomen, to the navel region. Breathe in, be in touch with sensation at the navel. At the abdomen, breathe out and release. Going further down, become aware of sensation at the very base of your spine. At the tip of your tailbone. Breathe in, see if you can be aware of sensations at the base of your own spine. Breathe out and release. Imagine as you breathe out, you are also releasing the weight of your pelvis comfortably onto the cushion, onto your chair. Surrender that weight to gravity. Now we're going down each leg one at a time, starting from the right hip joint. Not to worry if you don't know where it is. Roughly place your attention at the right hip. Imagine as you breathe in, you become aware of sensations here, and breathe out and release at the right hip. And then moving down to the right knee. As you breathe in, be aware of sensations in your right knee. Out and release. At your own pace. And then allow your attention to travel down to your right ankle. Just with a light touch, breathing, be aware of sensations at the right ankle. Doesn't matter if you don't notice any sensation, just roughly place your attention there. As you breathe out, once again, remind yourself to release. Extend your attention into your right foot so that as you breathe in, you are in touch with sensations. Put your right foot, the sole, the top of the foot, the toes, and as you breathe out, release. Release the weight on your right leg so that it can rest comfortably on the floor or on the support. Switching side, place your attention now in your left hip, the left hip joint. Breathe in, be aware of sensations here, out and release. Extend your attention now to your left knee, breathe in, be aware, in touch, out and release. Allow your attention to travel down to your left ankle, touch and release. Let your attention flow into your left foot. In touch here, the left foot, notice sensations here. As you breathe out, release. Likewise, see if you can release the weight of your left leg. Let it rest completely on the floor or on its support. Now that we have reconnected our attention to all the different parts in our body, we can move on to the third step, deepening meditation. Simply allowing your attention to come back and be aware of breath sensations throughout your body. You can notice the breath just as you have noticed so far in many different parts of the body. You may notice the breath around the nostrils, sensations of air flow in and out of the body, we are aware of the breath sensations at the chest, the movements of expansion and contraction. And some of us may notice the breath at the abdomen as well, rising and falling as we breathe in and out. See if you can. Let the breath sensations throughout your body be your support, a place where you can return your attention to and rest. Rest your attention on the breath. So coming back to the breath, doesn't matter if your attention wander off elsewhere, you can always choose to come back to the breath. And as you breathe out, you can continue to remind yourself to release. Maybe some of the tension or tightness in the body, as well as thoughts or images that pop into your mind, all that you can release with the breath. So coming back to the breath sensations, and feel free to do that again and again. And each time you notice the out breath, make use of this opportunity to deepen the sense of release. You can release anything that is unhelpful, unnecessary. You can help the body to release tension, tightness, and discomfort. Just by giving them permission to flow away with the breath. And you can release thoughts or images that come into your mind. No need to struggle against them, no need to be upset. Just let you breathe out, say the magic word in your mind, release. So that's 25 minutes of meditation. So in that meditation, we have gone through the three steps, acquiring a seat. And the bulk of it is simply this, what I call transition, making a transition using this particular technique of touch and release, returning attention to be in touch with a part of body and release, which may or may not work for you. We are all different. So some techniques work very well, other techniques may cause you more disturbance. So you need to decide for yourself which way works better. But I think last week I introduced one just by, without involving the breath so much, just by coming back and be aware of sensations at the different parts of the body. So these are different ways we can facilitate the body and the mind to shift gears, to start to settle into the meditation. And the last part is to use the breath as a support. I'm asking you to simply practice coming back to the breath. See if you can do it without any struggle, without getting too upset or frustrated with what might be happening in your meditation. Quite often people get a bit upset when they notice that their mind wander off a lot of wondering or thinking. And that is actually quite natural. You know, the way to work with that is not to be upset with yourself. Instead, it's to just be patient and just keep returning your attention to your support. The breath in this case. So, any questions about what we cover in this part? Cannot be, right? It's so clear that you all understand it. That's what it is. Just joking. Don't worry about it. Okay, so what I want to cover in the second half of today is that to introduce you to a different support. The Karma Bali meditation can be done with, usually we call it different objects of meditation. That means you can make a different object to be the base or support of your attention. And you can return your attention to different types of objects. And different objects can have different effects on your body and mind, and it may suit different people. Some people find the breath, like I find the breath quite wonderful. I've been doing this meditation for many years with the breath. So in fact, if you attend a few different classes by me, a lot of the meditation has something to do with the breath. The breath kind of makes a very regular appearance. You know, I tend to modify meditation to synchronize them to the breath. It's a kind of easy object for me. Other people, I find the breath very boring. Or you just can't stand the breath. And don't understand why all this thing about breath, to breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out. Or they might find it quite agitating with the breath. Or they find, a common thing is people find that the breath doesn't flow smoothly. That's also one of the challenges with the breath. Once you pay attention to it, you tend to control it. You tend to regulate your breath. And at first it seems okay, but after a while you find that they might create some unpleasant sensation. The next level with the breath is learning to release control. To just allow the breath to flow by itself, regardless, so you don't have to make it longer or shorter. You know, there's no such thing as a correct breath. You can just let it flow by itself, and you are comfortable with it. That is the next level you can aspire to, releasing all control, all conscious control of the breath. Just return the breath to the body. Anyway, it's been breathing on its own, right? You know, I've been telling you, breathe in now, breathe in now. Okay, stop. Breathe out now, stop.
You've not been doing that, right? And you're fine, you're still alive, right? So clearly you don't need to give direction to the breath, you don't have to control it. But relinquishing that control is difficult. That's one of the major challenges in meditation with the breath. But over time, as you become more relaxed and more comfortable with it, you kind of start to trust your body again that I don't need to tell it what to do, it can do it all by itself. But there are other objects of support that you can use. And in this course, I also like to introduce you to a few of them so that you get to try it out and so that you may find one that works better for you, one that you find easy, you find very attractive or very beneficial. Then why not use something that works best for you? Okay. So today I want to introduce you to meditation with loving kindness, or metta in Pali, or Maitri in Sanskrit, in the Indian language, loving kindness. So we can also use loving kindness meditation to cultivate karma by it. So loving kindness is a quality of the heart. Usually explained in the Buddhist context as the intention or wish for yourself and others to be happy and to have the causes of happiness, or to find happiness and the causes of happiness. So you can call it love, you can call it kindness. Quite often it's associated, but not all the time, associated with a warm feeling at the heart, warmth of loving kindness. This very warm sense of care and concern. But when we meditate on loving kindness, don't expect to always have that kind of feeling, the feeling of warmth, the feeling of genuine care and concern. Because feelings come and go. A lot of the time when I do my loving kindness meditation, I don't necessarily feel very loving. Okay? I'm one of those people that I cannot feel on demand. So, okay. Your love, express your love. Then forget it, cannot do it. So, some people are very good, they find very easy to get in touch with that kind of feeling and bring it forth. And so for them, when they do loving kindness meditation, it's easy in the sense that because they have that feeling. And that feeling is what we use as a support in loving kindness meditation. It's a little bit different from the breath. And this is also one thing I want to point out to you. With the breath, a lot of people, when we do the breath meditation, you feel like there's something called a breath in front of you or wherever. And there's a meditator, observing the breath. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Sometimes your observer gets distracted somewhere else. But, so you don't know what the breath is doing, but you are thinking here and there. And then they all come back to the breath. Breathe in, breathe out. So there is this is a form, a sense that there is a meditator. Sometimes people use the word observer or witness, witnessing the breath, observing the breath. Okay? This is at the beginner level. Eventually you learn to, and that's when people say, oh, I can observe the breath. Observe myself thinking, observe this, observe that. Yeah. Later on, when you go deeper into karma abiding meditation, you learn to release the observer. It's almost as if the breath and the observer are two things. Fine. So this meditation jargon is called duality, a dualistic experience. But two things, an observer and the breath. Okay? And as you go deeper into the meditation, the two merge together, and almost as if there's just one thing, there's just the breath flowing within awareness itself. No kind of separation anymore. But anyway, even if you don't understand me, just have a notion that when we first start, we have this idea of an observer observing the breath. But as you go deeper into the meditation, the sense of the observer gets less and less. And you start to have what we call a non-dual experience. That is, there is something called the breath happening within the space of your mind. And it's not something separate from you or at a distance from you. Okay?
your mind merges with the breath. There's this sense of flowing in and out happening. So that's with the breath. Loving kindness is not the same. You don't want to observe loving kindness. Okay? Loving kindness is a feeling. It's something that you feel. You sort of allow it to infuse your mind, you know, to fill up your mind, fill up your heart, as you say. You know? So it's a kind of immersion experience. I usually use a bathtub example, analogy. Unfortunately, in Singapore, not many people have bathtub, right? So Singapore weather, you don't really want to take a hot bath, right? They're hot enough, okay? But imagine you go to, like, I love when I travel in Japan to have an onsen, a hot spring immersion experience. So meditation and loving kindness is not about preparing a bath or hot spring, and you stand outside and look at it and say, there is loving kindness there. Observe loving kindness. Observe your bath or hot water. It's getting cooler and cooler. Okay. That's not the point. So don't have, there's no sense of, you don't want to separate. In fact, you want to lower yourself fully into the bath, into the hot spring. You just sit there and soak. So loving kindness is a bit like this. You allow that, you try to allow this quality of loving kindness to arise. And then fill up your mind and heart. And you are basically soaking in loving kindness. Right? So you don't want to observe loving kindness. Oh, am I more loving? Am I less loving? Forget about it. You just want to immerse yourself in it. Right? So it's almost like you open the tap to allow the water of loving kindness to fill up your bath and allow yourself to be completely immersed in it. Okay? A bit tricky, right? So how to open that tap, how to tap into the quality of loving kindness. That's a challenge when you use loving kindness as support. But when you can do it, it's a very nice experience. After all, we spend a lot of our time trying to find love in it. And then you find it, you try to keep it, isn't it? When people try to take it away, you fight for it, isn't it? That's when you feel jealous, you know, you struggle, you try to regain your love, you think about your love, now you just have love on demand. Isn't anyone, I don't even need another person, forget it. I have it all by myself, yeah? So you come, you go, never mind, get on with it. But there's love here, how wonderful it is. I know that's the advantage of living. You are independent of another person. You don't need to have them physically there in order to feel love. It is a quality of your own heart, something that you have, not something that someone needs to give to you, but something that you can activate and bring forth from within yourself. Okay? So let me just explain how I do loving kindness meditation, and then we can give it a try. There are different ways to do loving kindness, and this is my own experience, and maybe you are similar. The first method I learned is this love on demand, feeling on demand. Okay, bring forth into your heart this warm feeling of love and radiate it out to everybody. I can't do it there. So basically, it's just waiting for the time, the bell to ring. I can't find that feeling. I don't know how on earth you feel love. No, how do you bring it up? I don't know how to say it. You know, it's not that I don't have love in my heart. I don't experience love in my life, but I just can't quite figure out how to do that. You know? So that is a no-brainer. Forget about it. Never do it again. The second one is to use a visual image. Imagine your love is like a golden lotus. The lotus opens. And radiant, golden light radiate out, filling up your body, and then you radiate out like the sun, and touches all those people that you love. Unfortunately, I'm not a visual person. As far as meditation is concerned, I don't have many visual experiences, so it's pitch black darkness. Because I, golden light. Where is this golden light? Where is this golden light? No, it's completely dark. I also joke, some people will know this, my old joke. The only light I can imagine is the laser beam of Star Wars, or the lightsaber.
No, I just, the Empire Strike Back, all those things. Not very loving, isn't it? So, unfortunately, visualization doesn't work so well. So for many years, I struggled a lot with loving kindness meditation until I found a method that kind of worked for me. So I mentioned this is to let you know that if you come across a method like one presenting it and doesn't seem to work for you, don't give up on your loving kindness. Okay, you can give up on my method, you can chuck it, that's no problem. But don't give up on your meditation, your loving kindness. Sometimes maybe another way of presenting it, another technique, might resonate better for you. In loving kindness meditation, the way I use words, literally, just like where I use the word release, I use certain simple sentences or phrases that for me at least convey some of the aspects of bliss or kindness. So in my meditation, all I do is I just repeat those phrases. So I have a standard 4 lines that I always use that I introduce to people. And what you can do is you can start with them, or feel free to change the wording. You can add a few more lines or delete a few lines. You can make it work for yourself. So I have 4 lines, and I will explain them. The first one is, you can do it for towards yourself or towards yourself. So may I live in safety. Okay, so may you live in safety. May I live in safety, because for me, safety is a sense of safety or security is very important in order to be happy. So if you wish someone to be happy, in my case, at least make sure that they feel safe. They feel so safe that they don't even think about it. They don't even question safety. That's wonderful, right? Because there are people whose life isn't safe. They are exposed to a lot of danger. There's always a constant sense of anxiety and fear. And when you have that sense of insecurity or a sense of awareness of danger, it's actually very hard to be happy. Because you are constantly like in survival mode. You constantly need to look out. Constantly need to be prepared, to face danger. So it's very hard to be happy, very hard to be relaxed. So the first line I said, may you or may I live in safety, be safe. Okay. Second one, may I be happy. Happy here, I mean, like mental happiness, like joyfulness, cheerfulness, you can laugh at jokes, that you have a sense of humor. And there is this lightness of the mind that allows you to experience a mental happiness. So may I or you be happy, the second one. Third one is may I be healthy, may you be healthy. Physical well-being, no aches and pains, no worry or anxiety over diseases or cancer or dementia or whatever. So that the body is not giving you any problem at all. You feel very comfortable in your own body. May you be healthy. The last one, may I live with ease, or may you live with ease. Ease, not easy. So may things come to you easily. May life happen smoothly. So, I mean, by now it's an old example, wherever you drive to, you always can find a parking spot. I think maybe Geylang also, right? It's a challenge, right? Isn't it? Especially if you want to park along that street, that particular street, yeah. Don't walk too far. And may other things in life, if you want to do something, may things happen smoothly, one after another, and before you know it, you arrive where you want to be, you get what you want to be done. So isn't that wonderful? May you live with that sense of ease, as opposed to sometimes in life, everything that can possibly go wrong. They go wrong. So that's terrible, isn't it? Like, oh God, here you have this problem and then problem, and then yet another problem. You feel like constantly under stress and burdens, this load. But you feel that, one more thing you would really just, you would give up. So may it not be like that. May you live with ease. May you live in safety. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease.
and just feel free to change the wording if you want, add a few more lines, do whatever you want with it. But the practice is very simple. It's just by repeating the phrases. The phrases makes it easy also for you to have something to support your attention and something to bring your attention back to you. We do get distracted. So you just come back and just start from the beginning, the first line, and just repeat it. And we repeat the phrases and we direct the words, but the intention behind that. The intention is very important, right? You actually do mean what you say. You mean when I say, oh, may you live in safety. I wish you. I really want you to be safe. I want you to be happy, to be healthy, and that your life will flow smoothly and easily. So that sense of sincerity is important. But mean it. Mean what you say. 1% sincerity is good enough. But only 100%. Sometimes we are not that sincere. We all a bit, I love you, but I love myself much more than you. Okay? But at least a little bit is good enough to start. If you zero sincerity, then forget about the person, okay? Like your worst enemy, you say, I can never imagine wishing this person well. Right, never mind. Put him or her aside for a while. Right. And so we start with ourselves, we repeat the phrase and we direct and at least the intention of loving kindness to yourself. And then later on, I'll ask you to turn your attention to just imagine, think about people around you, close to you, one at a time. Spend a bit of time with each one of them and just direct the phrases towards them and just sincerely wish them to be well and happy. When you first do it, there's not much feeling. It's just words. Blah, 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 blah. So after you get used to the words, especially when you can connect with the intention of the words, that's when feeling starts to come. As you say the words, you actually do feel it. And that's when the feeling that we normally associate with loving kindness may come up. So by using the phrases, you allow your attention to stay with the intention of loving kindness and occasionally also stay with the feeling of loving kindness. And this meditation is simply about coming back to the quality of loving kindness. And the more you do it, the more stronger will be the feeling, and after a while, it becomes as obvious as the breath. Breath is very obvious, right? Breathing in and out. Loving kindness is a bit hard to get in touch, but once you're used to it, maybe not in this session, but as you get used to it, that every time you do this meditation, it becomes easier and easier to not only wish loving kindness, but also to feel loving kindness. And then that becomes your object or support of meditation. So it has another advantage. There's a few advantages. First, loving kindness is a very nice feeling. It's a very pleasant feeling. When it comes forth, you really feel, oh, this is very nice. Then you will find that it's actually easier and easier to do this meditation. It feels nice. That's what we all want, isn't it? So it becomes, it helps you to draw your attention back. In so doing, you move closer to calm abiding. Okay? And another advantage is, as you become more familiar with the quality of loving kindness in your meditation, you also tend to express it to others, or towards yourself. So maybe people close to you say, oh, what's wrong with you this day? You seem so much nicer, so much warmer. Even the hello seems to feel with warmth. So there is a secondary benefit of meditating on loving kindness. You actually become a more loving person. Not that you're not loving, but more loving, a kinder person. So what you do in your meditation starts to express itself out in your behavior, interaction with others. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Then you will be like, whoa, like a walking light bulb or radiating loving kind. So I just share a story with you. I read about it in a book on loving kindness meditation, and then we'll do a meditation together. So this happened in New York City, this teacher Sharon Salzberg, she's very famous for as a meditation teacher, American meditation teacher, especially on this topic of loving kindness. Yeah. So she was leading a non-residential retreat in New York City, which means they would come to the meditation center for the day,
and then evening they'll go home, and the next day they come to the center. And I think somewhere in the middle of the retreat, there's this lady, she was waiting at the subway, waiting to get to the center for the retreat. So she was waiting at the subway, and then a train arrived, not hers, and then people alighting. And then this, she noticed a guy that came off the train, and he looked a bit anxious, you know, like, I don't know, in New York, everybody is anxious. But this guy looked particularly nervous and anxious. And the bizarre thing is, this guy started walking towards her, but right straight at her, when they're walking past her, saying, oh, what's going on? And actually come to stop in front of her. And he spoke to her and said, look, I know this may sound very strange. Who is it? The stranger stopped in front of you and say that, but somehow you look very kind. You look like a kind person. And she was doing a loving kindness meditation. Look very kind. And now I'm immediately going to a situation, like a very important, crucial situation. Could you be so kind to say a few prayers for me? Said, okay. Alright, no problem. Then he went off, yeah. So clearly, if you do loving kindness meditation, even in the New York subway, without a sign to say, I am meditating on loving kindness, people pick up on it. People walk by someone in distress, in need of some support, can identify that you are kind and stop and ask you for, in a way, your blessing. The power of loving kindness. May you live today's session like a light bulb, radiating the light of loving kindness into your life. Okay? So let's give it a try, and I'll guide you to do this meditation. Okay, so once again, just step back into a supportive meditation posture. Make sure that the posture feels balanced, supportive. Allow your back, your spine to be upright in a natural way. And take a few moments. Just allow your body to find its way back into the posture, releasing unnecessary tightness and tension. And to help our body and mind to once again transition back into the meditation state, we can, in a simple way, start with a few deep breaths, breathe in and out deeply for a few times. And as you breathe out, remind yourself to release. Allow your breath to settle back to its natural rhythm. You don't have to control the breath in any way. There's no need to make it longer or shorter, make it deeper or more shallow. Just let your body breathe itself. We start by just resting our attention with the breath for a while, breathing in and out, and see if you can pay special attention to your natural out-breath. Breathing out, remind your body and mind that they can release. As you breathe out and release, not only are you releasing carbon dioxide from your lungs, maybe some of the discomfort or tension, tightness in the body may also melt and flow away with the breath. Especially tension in your face. So quite often we do unconsciously tense up our facial muscles. So now is a good time, as you breathe out, see if you can release some of those tensions. Allow your whole face to feel a bit more relaxed, softer, more comfortable. Otherwise, coming back to the breath, you can also breathe out and release the different thoughts or images,
memories, fantasies, or some ongoing commentary in your mind, you can let those words and images just flow away with the breath. And for the third step, deepening meditation, this time we're going to use loving kindness as the support. And we usually begin loving kindness meditation with ourselves, sending loving kindness, expressing the sense of care and concern towards ourselves. So take a few moments and select a few simple phrases that you think will best convey how you understand what you mean. Been loving, been kind, to show care and concern. So phrases such as, may I live in safety? May I be happy? May I be healthy? May I live with ease? So feel free to change the wording if you like. And it's very simple, in a very slow, mindful way. See if you can just say the word. The phrases and direct that intention towards yourself, wishing yourself, may I live in safety, may I be happy, may I be healthy, may I live with ease, may I live in safety, may I be happy, may I be healthy, may I live with ease. So the idea is not so much the words, but the intention, the sense of care and concern towards yourself. And as usual, if you do get distracted midway, not worry. Just come back to the phrases a little time and start again. And do it at your own pace, in your own way. May I live in safety. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So coming back to loving kindness, to the phrases of loving kindness offered to yourself. Sometimes there might be some feeling, maybe a slight feeling of warmth. And quite often, maybe nothing at all, no particular feeling. That's fine. So allow feelings to come and go by themselves. Don't worry too much about the feeling. See if you can stay with the words, the phrases, and the meaning and intention behind them. Just for a few moments, direct that sense of care and concern towards yourself. As a way of expressing the quality of kindness and love towards yourself, wishing yourself to be happy and to have the qualities of happiness. May I live in safety. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. To remember, when you do find your attention being distracted elsewhere, simply come back, invite your attention back to the words, the phrases of loving kindness, with as much sincerity you can find within your own heart. Offer them to yourself. May I live in safety. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then when you feel ready, we can extend loving kindness beyond ourselves to those closest to us, to our loved ones, those that we care about. And we can do so by bringing them to mind one at a time. You can even picture them in your own mind. And to each one of them, spend a bit of time and send forth loving kindness to them. Again with the same phrases, wishing, may you live in safety, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you live with ease. So at your own pace, see if you can bring your loved ones or those closest to you to mind one at a time and spend a bit of time with each one of them, wishing each one of them to find happiness and the causes of happiness. May you live in safety, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you live with ease. So coming back to the phrases of loving kindness, you do find yourself distracted away from it. Remind yourself the person you are directing loving kindness towards and start again. Slowly, mindfully repeat the phrases. Just offer that quality of care and concern towards this person. As I mentioned earlier, meditating on loving kindness is different from meditating on breath. You don't need to focus on loving kindness. Observe it. Instead, as you say the words, allow it to open the tap. Allow the warm water of loving kindness to fill up your heart, to spread and fulfill your body and mind, so that you eventually are immersed in loving kindness and radiate that beyond yourself to touch those that you love, that you care about. May you live in safety. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. coming back to the phrases of loving kindness, not to be too concerned if you don't feel terribly loving or warm. Simply rely on the words and the intention behind the words for the time being. Allow them to stand in for the feeling of loving kindness and continue to offer that to those that you love. May you live in safety. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then finally, we conclude this meditation with what we call dedication, which is like by meditating, coming here today, meditating together, we generate kind of positive momentum, a momentum for positive change, and we would like to give that momentum a direction, direct it towards the fulfillment of some of your aspirations for yourself or for others. And now is the time to move in your mind to verbalize that and dedicate that. May anything good that come out of this meditation, may it goes towards the fulfillment of your aspiration for yourself and others. And may anything helpful or beneficial that come out of the meditations today stay with you, linger in your body and mind, and continue to benefit you long after the meditation. Okay, so that's it for this week. Next week there is class, so I hope to see you next week. So have a good weekend, and thank you for your attention.